Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam. Kyle isn't with me today. But we're going to look at what do you see in the mirror? That's going to be the title of this episode. And it's when we look at ourselves, what do we see? I was reading the book of James the other day, and this passage was convicting. And so I just want to cover it here. In James chapter 1, as you read, in verse 22, he says, "Become doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves." Are you a hearer, or are you a doer? If you're a doer, then you're not a hearer. But if you're a hearer and not a doer, you deceive yourself. Let's open in prayer as we get started. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray as we go through and look at your word today, we understand what it means to be a doer versus a hearer. And what do we see when we look at ourselves in the mirror? Your word is going to explain to us as far as what you say about this truth. I pray that your word will convict people, O God, and that they will humble themselves and let your word instruct them so that they can be blessed and find truth and know it and walk in it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And verse 23 says, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like the man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. And once he has looked at himself, and then he's gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." You see, that's the hearer. That's the one who's deceived. That's the one who's not the doer. They look at themselves in a mirror. They see what they look like. But as soon as they walk away, they forget. You see, there's a lot of people today who seek God. A lot of people who call themselves Christians, they're people like this person, the hearer. They'll remember and get really focused on seeking God on Sunday. And then after Sunday, they get caught back up in the world. They forget what they look like. At least according to God, God would say they forget what they look like because they go back to looking like the world. And then they come back around again. They get all focused on God, and it's like this cycle. But Jesus said we can't be serving two masters. But there's a different person, not the hearer, not the one who forgets what he looks like in the mirror, but the one who, in verse 25, looks intently at the perfect law. This is interesting. The perfect law, which is the law of liberty, and abides by it. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You see, the person that looks at the perfect law and is able to abide by it, they walk according to the law of liberty. A lot of people may not have known, you know, what does it mean to be in this freedom? Well, the passage that comes to mind is James chapter 5. Talk about walking according to the law of liberty. James chapter 5 talks about there's two types of people. The free man and the man who's still a slave. In chapter 5 verse 13 it says, "You were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in this one word, and the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." He goes on to say in verse 16, "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." He goes on to say, because they're opposites. In verse 18, he says, "If you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Did you catch that? If you're led by the Spirit, then you're no longer under the law. There's freedom. He goes on to say, if you still have deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. The things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, so this is twice now, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he goes and talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. You see, there's no law against those things. That's why it's liberty. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Question is, are we doing that? What do you see in the mirror when you examine yourself? Are you the effective doer, abiding intently by the perfect law, doing all those things, being now free from the written law, because you now have the law written in your heart? But some people say, no, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm always going to be the double-minded man. I'm always going to bear two kinds of fruit. I'm always going to serve two masters. I'm always going to struggle, never be able to overcome sin. Well, verse 26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious, back in James chapter 1, verse 26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Do you struggle sometimes, you who are listening, with bridling your tongue? God's going to tell you, you deceive your own heart. The deception is in your heart. Your religion is worthless. But pure and undefiled religion, the sight of our God and Father, is to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. What do you see when you look in the mirror during your week? Do you see a person who's abiding by the Spirit of God, by the perfect law of liberty? Or do you see someone who continues to be stained by the world because you cannot overcome? You know, the whole beginning of James contrasts two different people. The person who can abide, the person who cannot. The doer, the hearer. God told us in verse 16, stop being deceived, beloved. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. Did you catch what type of gifts the Father gives? Perfect gifts. Perfect gifts in the exercise of his will, that he would bring us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a first fruits among his creatures. There's a problem, just as we just talked about the hearer and the doer. The man who abides by the perfect law, the one who cannot, the one who deceives his own heart and cannot bridle his tongue, who has a worthless religion. Well, he says, this you know, beloved, in verse 19, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man cannot work the righteousness of God. Do you still have the anger of man? I'm sorry then, you cannot work the righteousness of God. Here's God's instruction for you. Verse 21. Therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, an imperative command in the Greek, and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul, and become doers of the word, and not hearers who deceive themselves. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see as somebody who consistently abides in the truth? Or do you see somebody who continues to become stained in the world and has to confess your sins every night? Which person are you? Please don't be deceived. God's telling this person, stop being deceived. Many of these people had not yet received the word implanted that could save their soul. More about this person who looks in the mirror and doesn't forget who he is, but sees the reflection of Christ. That's somebody who has a proof of faith. That was discussed in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various temptations. Do you count it joy when you encounter temptations? Probably thinking that's a strange question. God commands us that we are. Well, it depends. He tells us why. verse 2. Knowing that the proof of your faith is producing endurance, and endurance must be having its perfect result. What type of result was that? Oh, perfect. Well, if it's the power of God doing the work, and God only gives perfect gifts that produce perfect results or bear only spiritual fruit, that makes sense. So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, a lot of people say, oh, that's impossible. Well, then I guess you don't have a proof of faith. Endurance is not having its perfect result in you. And that you are not perfect. You are not complete. You are still lacking. Well, this message would be for you then. Verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But there's a condition. You see, you can ask, and you can think you received. God says in verse 6, you must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That man ought not to expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. When you look in the mirror, what do you see of yourself? Each day, the entire week. Do you ever find yourself showing partiality? Chapter 2 talks about that. Chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes to you in your assembly with a gold ring, dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing fine clothes, and you say, you, sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you, stand over there or sit down at my footstool. Have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? You who are listening, you ever show partiality to people based upon the judgments or the ideologies of the world? Would God be accusing you of judging with evil motives and that showing of your partiality? You see, God says such people who do that in verse 7, do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you've been called? He's referring to actually a rich man here. But in verse 8, if, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. When you look at yourself in the mirror, do you see somebody who loves their neighbor as themselves? How would you define loving your neighbor as yourself? Is your definition to love your neighbor as yourself, oh, I do good to them? Well, that's a partial definition. It's actually the definition that God uses discussing the sinners who don't inherit the kingdom of heaven, that they do good to those who do good to them. But you see, that's not the perfect definition that God gives of what that means. If you go and you read Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 12, you'll find out where God defines what it means to love your neighbor as yourself as you no longer sin against them. Do you still have to confess your sins each night because you sin against the people around you? Well, then you are not loving your neighbor as yourself. You are not fulfilling the royal law. You are not walking according to the law of liberty. You see, in verse 9, going back to this person who showed partiality, if you show partiality, you're committing sin. Well, that's a problem. Sinners are convicted by the law as transgressors. If you continue to be a sinner and a transgressor, well, here's what God has to say for you in verse 10. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he's guilty of everything. It doesn't matter if you're like, oh, but I'm not doing this, but I struggle with that. Now, you see, when God frees you from sin, he frees you from all sin. You continue to struggle, God's going to accuse you of being guilty at all. For he who said, do not commit murder, also said, do not commit adultery. Now, if you do not commit murder, but you commit adultery, or do you, I'm sorry, if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you've become a transgressor of the law. So we're commanded to speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. You see, those who walk according to the law of liberty are the doers, not the hearers. They are the ones that can bridle their tongue. They are the ones who don't stumble and continue to stumble in sin. You know, Jesus talked about that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and 6. He says, hey, if your hand, foot, eye continues to cause you to stumble, it's better to have no hand, eye, or foot. Otherwise, your entire body is going to be cast into hell. What do you see when you look at yourself in the mirror and you reflect on what you see? Think about the past week, the past month. Do you see Christ? Or do you see somebody who still has sin in their life? A sinner. What fruit and what works do you bear? In James chapter 23, it's a warning. He says, for we all stumble in many ways. That's one group of people. But listen to the other group. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. He's able to bridle the whole body as well. Now see, that's somebody who the person who can bridle their tongue, remember in chapter 1, verse 26, the one who can't bridle their tongue, their religion is worthless. This person can bridle their tongue. He says not only that, they can bridle their entire body. They aren't the one who stumbles in many ways. That's the man who doesn't have power. They're the ones that can bridle their entire body. You know, he goes on to say that this tongue, in verse 5, is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how great a force is set aflame by such a small fire? Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and it's set on fire by hell. Have you bridled your tongue? What do you see when you look in the mirror? If you haven't bridled your tongue, your religion is worthless. You're deceived in your heart. Your fire still being set on the course of hell. See, that's what God says. I know you may say, but you don't understand. Verse 8, no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Forget about bridling the whole body. You can't bridle the tongue. Right there, James chapter 3, verse 8, it says so. That's right. That's the man who stumbles in many ways. That person with their tongue in verse 9, because you're like, but I go to church. I bless the Lord. Okay. Verse 9. With it, we bless our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come forth both blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things cannot be this way. What do you see in the mirror? Is that the life that you see? Do you struggle with bridling your tongue? Do you sometimes find yourself cursing other people around you, even under your breath? Remember, God judges the thoughts and intentions of your heart. Jesus taught, if you still have evil thoughts within you, you're the defiled tree that cannot bear good fruit in the eyes of God. Those trees get cast into hell, the fire. You see, in verse 11, can a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives or a vine produce figs? No. Nor can salt water produce fresh. You see the problem, you who are listening today. You need to find out what wisdom you have. To find out what person you're actually looking at when you look in a mirror. Are you looking at somebody who truly has the wisdom of God? Or are you looking at somebody who still has some darkness, some sin? Verse 13, who among is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and stop lying against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly, natural, demonic. When you look in the mirror, when God looks at you, would he see and would he find jealousy? Would he find selfishness and ambition in your heart? Well, God's going to tell you, don't be deceived and think you're looking at light. You're looking at the wisdom that's demonic, that resides in you, because your heart hasn't been cleansed from all sin yet. You see in verse 16, where there's jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. Please don't deceive yourself. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What do you see in a mirror? When you look at yourself, do you see somebody who lives the same, quote, godly life as the world around you who doesn't believe in God? Oh, there's a lot of people in the world who don't believe in God. There's a lot of people in the world who don't believe in God that live very righteous lives in the eyes of men. But they still have some sin that lingers in their thoughts and in their heart. Are you comparing yourself to them? Do you see that you look the same as them? Sometimes they look like even more righteous than you. Your standard is God. Your standard is His Son, Jesus Christ, who walked in the same example. So here's the solution. Even before that, chapter 4, verse 1. What's the source of quarrels and conflicts amongst you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? Do you struggle? You see, it's because you haven't received something. In verse 5, he says, do you not think that Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us, but He gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So God's going to tell you what you need to do. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded, because they haven't received the new heart and the new spirit yet. So has that happened to you? Have you been completely cleansed of all sin? Has your heart been purified? Are you no longer double-minded? If that hasn't happened, he says, be miserable, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Father, I pray, O God, that those who are listening, they'll be honest with themselves when they look at their life and ask themselves, what do I see when I look in a mirror? Or they see somebody who's a doer of the word, not a hearer? Do they see somebody who's able to bridle their tongue? Do they see somebody who does not have quarrels or conflicts? Do they see somebody who has a proof of faith that has perfect results when faced with all the temptations and trials of life? Are they the hearer or the doer? Are they able to abide by the law of liberty? Do they know what it means to love their neighbor as themselves? Or do they continue to stumble in many ways? Father, I thank you that through faith and grace and believing in the impossible work, we can be cleansed of all sin and be a man who no longer stumbles, but can now bridle not only the tongue, but the entire body through your power and spirit that now dwells in the inner man. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.